worshiping you in song and through the Sunday school lesson this morning. I pray that you receive glory from that, receive worship and praise that is due your name. As we looked at the men and women who have gone on before us, as we endeavor to live faithful lives ourselves here right now in 2025, may you give us the courage and the boldness to stand firm and to proclaim truth and to live exemplary lives for you. Thank you for the many Sunday school teachers who took their part. I pray that you would bless them tremendously for that. I ask a blessing upon the Stauffer family as they grieve the loss of their mother and give them an additional strength as go through this week and viewing and funeral. Also pray that you be with the Hurst family as they continue to process Lori's passing. Would you be a father to them and a close friend and support them in their grief as well. Thank you for Roger and Becky and bless them in their ministry in Mexico. Give them the strength they need. Philip and Deanna as they continue on with Philip's schooling as they look towards a possible trip to Turkey. Would you help that all to come into place? Mm-hmm. And would you be with their ministry to the Turkish people there in New York City? Father, we thank you for who you are, and we now give the time to you, and I ask that you would flow through Dad as he brings a message that you've laid upon his heart. As a congregation, may we receive that and be willing and open to what you would have to share and be able to look past Dad and ultimately see you high and lifted up and enthroned in your temple. So, Father, this is your time. Protect it with your angels, and we ask that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you.
Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning again. Last Sunday we were at Waterworks, and this morning I got called a stranger, but I'm sorry, I'm back. So it's good to be with you all again. Although this morning is the second Sunday in 2025, we are still in the first month of the year. So for a message this morning, we're going to go back to the first book of the Bible, back to Genesis. If you want, you can open your Bible to Genesis chapter 37. That's where we're going to start this morning. I recently read through the book of Genesis in my personal devotions and currently in the book of Exodus, but Genesis is a very interesting book. If you want an interesting book to read, I encourage you to go there and read that. We can read about, in Genesis, we read about the creation story, Adam and Eve. Then we see the dark time. We see their fall. Then we read about their children and the tragedy between Cain and Abel. One more of an encouraging note, we read about Noah, a just man who walked with God, built the ark, saved his family from the flood. A few years later, people multiplied. We read about the Tower of Babel. And then we see Abraham and Lot, followed by the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Moving on, a few chapters later, Isaac comes on the scene. This is when Abraham and Sarah were well up in years. Isaac marries Rebekah, and they have two sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob marries Leah and Rachel, and here we get to the family we want to look at this morning. Jacob had 12 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Joseph, and Benjamin. Story we know quite well. And Jacob was a good man, but Jacob was not perfect. And one of the mistakes that Jacob made, that we read about, that Jacob loved his son Joseph more than the rest of his children. Definitely a recipe for disaster, and it almost led to that. Genesis 37:3, now Israel, his name was changed to Israel later, loved Joseph more than all his children. Definitely not something to encourage that we do not do. I do have 5 favorite children, but I definitely would not encourage anyone to have a favorite child as he did here. And we know the story. Jacob did not try to hide his feelings towards his favorite son. So he made him this special coat of many colors, which caused his brothers to, and the King James uses the word hate, caused his brothers to hate him. And you fast forward, eventually sold their brother to a group of Ishmaelites who took Joseph down to Egypt. Just a little bit of background of what we're going to be looking at. The title of the message this morning is Victory Through Temptation. victory through temptation. 3 points: in Jacob's house, in Potiphar's house, and in God's hands. We think of the steps, well, we know the journey that Joseph took, and we think of the places where he was. So as a young man, he was in his dad's house. Then for a while, we see he's in Potiphar's house. And not that he moves, he always was there, but we're going to look at in God's hands. And the goal for the message this morning is to look at the events that lead up to the great temptation that Joseph faced, and also to see the victory that he experienced. We know the story well. I'm not teaching anything new, but we know the story well. And I believe that the victory that Joseph experienced was because of his connection with God, his communication with God, and his commitment to God. And that's the point we want to drive home this morning as we go through life. We're not going to be able to avoid temptation. It's something that we're all going to face. But back to Joseph in his life, we're going to see a man who experienced all the negative circumstances that are needed to destroy a person. And that might be strong, but you think of what he faced, and we'll look at it here shortly. It's a lot of the ingredients that are required to destroy a person, but Joseph triumphed over each one. Yes, he was human, as we are, but he gained the victory and over this great temptation that we're going to look at. And I believe the secret to his victory, there could be more reasons, but it's found in the three C's that I just mentioned. As we go through, just keep looking at Joseph's connection with God. And pay close attention to his communication with God. And don't overlook his commitment to God. And it is encouragement for us this morning. I repeat, we're going to face trials and temptations. But here's where I want you to focus on and ask yourself this morning, Lord, how is my connection with you? Lord, am I communicating with you the way you like me to? And Lord, check out and let me know what my commitment is to you. And that, maybe some of those questions you can answer yourself. But where are we this morning? Did we communicate with God this morning before we got to church here today? What about our commitment? Where are we at in our commitment? You may have seen a picture of a carrot hanging on front of the face of a donkey, and that would encourage him to walk towards it with the help to help get the work done that was required. And this donkey is focused on nothing but that carrot as he walks forward. He doesn't even care that he's pulling a plow or cart or whatever. He's focused on the carrot. And as we continue through life, our journey through life, let's keep the three C's in focus: our connection, our communication, and our commitment to God. And why? Well, that way, regardless what comes our way, and like I mentioned, it will come, we can maintain our focus on what matters most as we strive towards the goal. Above all else, are we striving towards that goal? Point number one, in Jacob's house, Genesis 37, verse 1 and 2, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Canaan, wherein his father was a stranger. Dwelt in the land where his father was, in the land of Canaan, I'm sorry. And these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old, feeding the flock with his brother. And let's just pause there for a while. So here we have Joseph, 17 years old, living with his family in the land of Canaan, working with his brothers. And Joseph saw what his brothers were doing. And if they're doing wrong, I'm not going to say it was wrong, but he kind of tattled on them. He goes back to dad. He said, "Hey, dad, these guys are doing some things that are not right." And definitely did not bring any positive points in his relationship with his brothers. But so he kind of started off on a bad note. And if you continue reading, I'm not going to read all the verses because there's a number. If you get down to verse 5, we see that Joseph dreamed a dream. And then he dreamed a second one. And here again, not saying he's wrong, but Joseph goes to his brothers and says, "Hey guys, this is what I dreamed." He said, his first dream said, your sheaves bound down to my sheaf. The second dream, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars, kind of pointing to his brothers, bow down to him. And the brothers didn't like him to start with, and this caused them to hate him beyond words. thinking he was getting to them to bow down to him. Definitely not a smooth relationship thus far, but what do these dreams tell us about Joseph? I mean, again, we know the story, but what do these dreams tell us about Joseph? So his dreams were fulfilled many years later in Egypt when his brothers actually did bow down to him. But his dreams tell us about Joseph's connection and communication with God. Who revealed these dreams to Joseph? God did. Joseph was in clear connection and communication with God. Think about our lives as we go through life. Not saying we'd sit there, lay awake or sleep waiting for a dream, but are we in connection with God? Are we connected to him and in communication with him? We'll get to the point in God's hands in a few minutes, but here we see God connecting with Joseph, preparing the stage to fulfill his ultimate will. So Jacob's unwise partiality towards Joseph causes his brothers to hate him. Then we get to the dreams, which were given to Joseph by God, caused the feelings of envy to grow to a point where they said, you know what, we're going to get rid of this boy. And they succeeded for a length of time. As we read, we get to verse 12, Joseph's brothers left to go feed their father's flock. And a while later, Jacob said to his son, hey, Joseph, go check up on your brothers to see how they are doing. So we know the story well. Joseph went, and he couldn't find them at first, but then someone said, oh, yeah, I saw them men. They went down to Dothan, so he heads down that direction. And his brothers are there with his father's sheep, and they see him coming, and they conspired among themselves, said, hey, let's kill this man. Let's get rid of this. Let's settle the score. We're tired of his dreams, and he's daddy's boy. Let's take care of this. So along comes Reuben, and Reuben convinced him, let's not kill him. Instead, let's just put Joseph in this pit. And all along, Reuben's thinking, I'll come back later, and I'll get Joseph out of the pit and send him back to his dad. And then come along a group of Ishmaelites, and the brothers, with Reuben being absent, we're not sure where Reuben was, they said, hey, guys, let's just sell him to this group of Ishmaelites. So we don't know where Reuben was through this time, but one thing's for certain, that God's hand was in the center of this exchange with the Ishmaelites. So the brothers thought, you know what, now we're finally finished with this man. Joseph is gone, sold as a slave, and carried into Egypt. But what's going to happen when Dad discovers very quickly that Joseph is not around? So they come up with this scheme, this lie, to tell their dad. Verse 31, they took Joseph's coat, killed a kid of goats, and dipped the coat in his blood, sent the coat in many colors, and brought it to their dad and said, hey, we found this. Is this your son's coat? And Jacob obviously knew what's his coat, his son's coat, most likely one of a kind, and he figured Joseph was killed by some animal. Jacob rent his clothes and mourned his son for many days. And it's just it's a tragic story of how all these events took place. And although it does not justify his brother's actions, what I like to point out here, that through it all, Joseph was exactly where God wanted him to be. Was Joseph going through some favorable times in his life? Obviously not. But Joseph was exactly where God wanted him to be. And as we go through hard times, may we remember that God is in control. Jacob didn't know or understand what was going on, and many times we don't either. But since we know the outcome of this story, I feel it can be a call for us to allow God to be God. And what's our response? Stay connected to him regardless of what we are facing. I'm sure there are things happened in your life in the past that you say, why? And it happened to me as well. We were in Grenada. I told a story before, and Pastor Glenn went out to the sea diving, and to this day, he has never returned. That was June 10th, 2003. Drew's birthday back in 2003. And I'm not saying God made a mistake, but I often ask God why. And not in a bitter way. And maybe that's where Jacob was at this point. Maybe not bitter towards God, but why did this happen? This was his quote-unquote favorite son. And maybe put your situation in and ask God. You might have asked God, why? Don't ask in a bitter way. But he didn't know the outcome of it, what was going on. But let's just allow God to be God and stay connected to him. As we read the story, I see no indication that God was punishing Jacob for something he had done wrong. But it was happening as a part of God's bigger plan. Maybe this is a case here where we see the innocent suffering. We know that happens sometimes. So the Ishmaelites purchased Joseph for 20 pieces of silver and took him down to Egypt. And there they sold him to Potiphar, who was one of Pharaoh's officers. Point number two, in Potiphar's house. So try to imagine Joseph's feelings on this, his journey through life. I want to say at this point, 17, possibly 18 years old. And I also want to just assume that he was a little accustomed to a little easier life at home due to his relationship with his dad. And now he's rejected by his brothers to the point that, you know what, we're just going to sell him as a slave. And they did. Taken from Dothan down to Egypt, 250 to 300 miles, depending on the route. It could have taken 10 to 15 days to make the trip, allowing Joseph plenty of time to think. So he's on this, let's just say he's on a donkey or walking, or a camel, I should say, rejected by his family. Soon to be sold again, because the Ishmaelites, they didn't want him either. They were hoping to make a profit off him at the next deal. Taken into a different country with a different culture, foreign language, different lifestyle. If that's not bad enough, no family and no familiar faces. And this is where you find this teenager at. But, however, there is something that Joseph took along with him to Egypt. And it comes out clearly, and that is his connection with God. He didn't forsake all and say, I'm done. No, he took his connection with God along. When everything else seemed unfamiliar with Joseph, Joseph retained his connection with God. Look at Genesis 39, verse 2. It's a beautiful verse. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. We looked this morning in our Sunday school lesson how the prosperous and Mennonites were in Russia and wherever they went. And yeah, we concluded that hard work and managing, good management is a key, but also that God's hand was in it. And here we see it again. God was with Joseph wherever he was and helped him prosper in the house of Potiphar here, away from his father and family, but in close connection and communication with God, and God was with him and blessed him. Also, you're there at 39, chapter 39. Look at verse 3. The question I had, did Potiphar know the Lord? And his master, speaking of Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him. I thought it's beautiful. Potiphar stood back, and here he had this slave from a foreign land, and he saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. You know, what a testimony. That tells me there that Joseph was serving his new master willingly and faithfully and cheerfully. And Potiphar took notice that the hand of God was with Joseph. Potiphar saw what was going on. Verse 4, Joseph found grace in the eyes of Potiphar. There he served him. And Potiphar made him an overseer in his house over all that he had. Think again about Joseph being a foreigner in this strange house. Nothing more, well, maybe a little bit more, but not a whole lot more than a slave. But Potiphar had complete trust in Joseph and put him in charge of his entire estate. I'm not sure how much time expired through this, but can you imagine how the Lord was with him time and time again? I come back to his connection and his communication with God. And there are times we may ask God, again, in a good way, why did this certain incident happen to me? or God, why didn't it happen that way? It would have been easier for me to understand. But we're not told that Joseph questioned the working of God's hands, but rather he simply lived his life and allowed God to take care of the details. You know, things probably happen to you maybe this week when you say, why did that happen? But are we allowing God and seeing God in the picture, allowing him to take control? And when we think about how Joseph just willingly served, what does this tell us about Joseph? You know, we saw his connection, his communication with God. But here we see his commitment to God. Joseph was committed to serving faithfully, regardless of where God put him. I don't think anyone would say, hey, you know what? I'm willing to leave my parents' house this afternoon, travel to an unfamiliar place as a slave and serve someone there. I don't know anything about the country, language, and so on. And this is what happened to this young man. But he served faithfully. His commitment to God is amazing. He says, you know, I'll serve despite the unfavorable conditions. So let's go back to that, where he was thrown in the pit, go back to that pit experience, and move ahead onto what we're talking about right now. And there was nothing happening to Joseph that he was in control of. Thrown in the pit, brothers grabbed him, thrown him in. Brothers pulled him back out again. They sold him. He traveled as a slave for 10 to 15 days. Then he was sold again, required to work as a slave, all out of his control. That's why I mentioned earlier that the things that were happening to him, these negative circumstances, were what is required to destroy a man. But look at how he is responding. I think deep down inside, can you hear him say, God, here I am, use me. I will serve you faithfully wherever you send me. And what a testimony. We talk about our comfort zone. Well, this young man's way out of that by far, by hundreds of miles. And he said, that's okay, God. You're with me. I'm in connection with you. I'm committed to you, God, and I'm going to serve you wherever you put me. What a testimony. Commitment means dedication, devotion, loyalty, faithfulness, adherence, attentiveness. Basically, clinging to the truth regardless of the cost. And now compare the definition of commitment to your commitment to God. And can you say, yep, yes, Lord, that's me. That's where I'm at. And I hope and trust that you can. This is where we find Joseph at his stage in life, in a place of full surrender. Joseph was completely sold out for God in a foreign land, serving as a slave, yet committed above all else. It just struck home, you know, where am I at? Yeah, we like things the way we like things, and don't mess up with my program, and yep, my schedule, and here we go. Click, 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 we're busy, we go. Then along comes a curve in our schedule. Are we still committed? Now think along the lines of commitment. Recently, our nephew was asked if he can prepare some meat for some family get-together. And said, sure, he can do that. He agreed. And so he started this process at 2:30 on a Friday afternoon. Okay, that's no problem. Still daylight, plenty of daylight. Then he told me, he said, yeah, I had to take it out at 3 o'clock Saturday morning. Oh, okay, so I said, you set your alarm to get out of bed at 3 o'clock Saturday morning just to take some meat out of your oven. Thinking how hard it would be. If you call me at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, I probably wouldn't answer my phone. But he says, yeah, he took the meat out at 3 o'clock. So I said, you set your alarm. No, he said, I never went to bed. He said, I was up all night because every half hour I had to add more wood to the fire. So you talk about commitment. Up all night and making meat for someone else who most likely was sleeping during this time so they could wake up on a Saturday and eat the meat that you were cooking all night long. And if you know this guy, he loves doing that, and it wasn't a big deal to him. But for me, up all night, you talk about commitment. And I ask you that question. Here's the question. Where are we at in our spiritual level of commitment? Committed to God. Just above all else. He was willing to give up a night's rest. What are we willing to give up just to serve the Lord faithfully? Joseph gave up a lot, family, but also, I go back, his comfort zone. Are we dedicated? Are we faithfully serving with no strings attached? Yeah, Joseph was in connection with God. Joseph was communicating with God, and he was committed to God. So you stop there, you put a comma there, and you say, okay, Joseph's doing all the right things. Okay, correct. But let's get to verse 7 of chapter 39. Joseph faced temptation. Why? Does it appear like God sometimes allows temptation to test us simply to check our level of commitment? You read back through these chapters, and by all appearances, Joseph was a spiritually strong man. He had deep roots in his faith in God. Did God want to see him fall? Is that why the reason that we face some things throughout our life? No, not at all. This experience would help Joseph become a stronger man, stronger in his faith. Again, we know the rest of the story, and we know how he's headed for prison, the prison cell, for a number of years. And maybe God saw he needed some more strength for what lie ahead. God may allow us to endure temptation as an avenue to build our character, to test our faith, and ultimately to help us grow spiritually as we resist the temptation and rely on God's strength. We live in a society that's very self-sufficient. I got this. I can handle this. But what I'm calling us to this morning is that we go through situations, we need to rely on God for his strength. That goes along with commitment. God, you're there. I'll be there. I'm going to rely on you for the strength because I can't handle this on my own. But with you with me, helping me, we can make this. And that's where we find Joseph here at this point in his life. Overcoming temptation will demonstrate a deeper commitment to God. When we overcome temptation with God's strength, we're going to thank him for it. And as we continue to do that, we grow stronger and stronger in our commitment to God. That also allows for personal development through choices that we make in the face of difficulty as we continue to make correct choices as we go through life. You look at Joseph again, you think, well, he was right there with God. I believe that God will always desire a closer connection with his children. Joseph was there, and I hope we'll trust each one here this morning is there as well. But God wants more. God desires that closer relationship. He wants to see us grow in our spiritual walk, continually growing closer to him. But he does not want to see his children fall. That's not the reason for temptation, trials and temptations. Instead, God said, you know what? You might go through this, brother or sister, but I will provide the strength that you will need for victory over each incident that we face. There's nothing too big that God can't handle. So what's our response? Again, just rely on him for the strength that we need. Verse 8, why did Joseph refuse Potiphar's wife? Verse 10, look at her demands. Her demands continued in verse 10. But why did Joseph did not yield to this temptation? Point 3, in God's hands. And I asked the question again, why did Joseph refuse Potiphar's wife? What effect did her continued demands have on this young man? To take a moment to reflect his past events. From favorite son with a special coat, to rejection, to slavery, strange country, unfamiliar people, language, and now faced with this temptation. Why did Joseph refuse? Brothers and sisters, the source of his strength while facing the temptation was that Joseph was in God's hands. Joseph was in God's hands. Joseph was allowing God to direct his steps. He was that close within his connection and communication and commitment to God that Joseph made the correct choice at the crossroads of life. He was at a huge crossroad. This was also either fail or gain the victory, and he gained the victory. But here's a point. Victory in the moment was possible and available because of his commitment to God. And when it comes to our commitment to God, it's not just, God didn't just say, okay, this is just for Joseph alone. No, this is for each one of us. When we're committed to God, our focus is on God. And we know right from wrong. We take the shield, the sword of the Spirit. And we know right from wrong, black from white, correct from incorrect. And we can make the right choices. When in the heat of temptation, Joseph did not lose sight of his final goal. I mentioned the final goal earlier. 2 Timothy 4:8. the crown of righteousness that's laid up for you and I at that day? Are we waiting for that? Are we preparing for that? Joseph was more in focus on his connection with God than on the things the world had to offer. And Joseph did not allow his focus to waver in spite of the circumstances that he was facing. Again, I went over his situation and the events a number of times. But through it all, he remained faithful. Paul tells us he was pressing toward the mark. He was not going to allow anything in life to derail his pursuit of holiness. And here we see Joseph with the same sense of determination. He refused Potiphar's wife because that would have majorly distracted his pursuit of the final goal and would have hindered his relationship with the Lord. Joseph did not allow the thoughts to go to the point, hey, I deserve this because of everything I've been through. Even though he's facing some very difficult years of his life, he did not feel entitled. Nor did he feel sorry for himself. Brothers and sisters, the devil will try to trap us in the area of self-pity. And he'll use that low time in our lives to derail our pursuit of holiness. But due to Joseph's connection with the Lord, he was able to stand strong, and we know the story, to run away from the temptations. His brothers may have rejected him, well, they did, but Joseph did not allow bitter family feelings as an excuse to turn his back on God. And it all comes back to that word commitment. You know, I can't do this. I will remain strong. Whatever the temptation may be that you are facing, wherever it comes your way, your connection with God, your communication with God, and your commitment with God will make a difference in the outcome. Are we going to allow God to show us the way as we make the correct choice? And look at the question that he asked Potiphar's wife. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do this? He reminded her that Potiphar entrusted everything to him except for his food and his wife. How can I do this? It's not even possible. I don't want my name attached to this. I will not sin against God. Joseph held a high level of commitment, and while in the hands of God, he maintained his purity and integrity. It's such a beautiful story. And what I want to get across here is that victory is available to those who are connected and committed to God. God did not send his temptation to Joseph to stand back and watch him fall. No, he wanted to see him have victory over it and mission accomplished. Faithful, obedient children are in the hands of God. I trust that's where we are this morning, allowing God to show us right from wrong. Consider our thoughts and our actions. Are we standing for what is right in God's eyes? Are we keeping ourselves pure in his eyes? Then you think of the question, what circumstances could have caused Joseph to feel that God had deserted him? And there could be a long list, which we just covered. All the things that happened to him, he could have stood back there in Potiphar's house and said, well, God's not with me anyway. I might as well go ahead and sin. But no, he didn't. Joseph never lost sight of the fact that he was constantly in the hands of God. Yeah, rejected by family and sold and into a foreign land. But he took his connection with God along with him. And Joseph would not allow anything to hinder his relationship with God. What events in his life revealed that God was with him? And we think back again to a number here, but going back to the fact that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and I'm sure Joseph felt that as well. The victory that Joseph had that day is the same victory that is available to everyone who is connected to God, in communication with God, and committed to God. This isn't just a few chosen people that have this. This is for everyone. As we think of temptations that may come our way this afternoon or tomorrow, victory is promised for those who are in the hands of God. What sacrifice did Joseph make to preserve his personal purity? And the second question is, was it worth it? Well, think of what happened after he fled. Joseph lost his job. He lost his position in Potiphar's house. He lost his reputation to all who believed Potiphar's wife's story, and he gained a prison cell. It's not only from Pharaoh's son to slave, but then from taking care of Potiphar's estate down to a prisoner again. Was it worth it? Absolutely. And it always will be. You will never err when you remain steadfast to God and cling to the truth and stand for what is right. Temptations will come. Are we going to willing to stand for what is right? Are you ready to wear that crown that is prepared for those who love him? Great tests will often come to those who are experiencing great prosperity or great adversity. Think of those who are always doing well and the temptations that come, or those who are not doing well. And most people seem to handle one set of circumstances better than the other. And in some ways, it's probably harder to deal with the prosperity end of it. But Joseph was one of the rare ones. He remained steadfast and strong in both adversity and prosperity. But like I said earlier, Joseph was human. So don't say, well, he was just some superhuman. No, he was like you and I. Victory is promised for those who are in God's hands. So may we rely on the strength of the Lord to overcome the temptations that come our way. And then thank the Lord for the strength that he provides. As you leave this morning, ask yourself, am I connected with God? Am I in communication with God? Am I committed to God? Let's pause for prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning. Just thank you for the story on Joseph and for the victory that he had. Thank you, Lord, that you were with him. And thank you, Lord, you will be with all who are connected and in communication and committed to you, God. I pray for each soul this morning. You just help them, Lord, to be strong. Lord, if temptation comes today, tomorrow, within the next year, 10 years, that you would help them to have victory. Help them, Lord, just to allow you to be you and just to tap into your strength and gain the victory of the temptations that come our way. Lord, may we be good examples to those who are following us. Lord, may we let our light shine. Lord, may we maintain our purity and our integrity. And Lord, may we be ready and prepared for the crown that you're preparing for each one, for all those who are faithful. Thank you again, God, for this time of worship, and help us, Lord, just to strengthen our commitment to you as we go about our days. In your name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Nate, we have a song, please. In the Christian